Good morning, everybody. Bonjour. Welcome to this workshop. The title of this workshop is Mainstreaming the Sciences of the Brain and Society into Individual and Socio-Environmental Obesity Prevention. This symposium is hosted by the McGill World Platform for Health and Economic Convergence, and it's part of the second Canadian National Obesity Summit. So we welcome you all to this workshop. The discussion will be in English, but we also have a colleague who's an interpreter, so in French, if anybody is not comfortable with English, our colleague will also help you in that regard. So do not hesitate to mention if you're not comfortable with any of the discussion. I will moderate this session. My name is Esveral Özdemir. I'm at the Center of Genomics and Policy at McGill University, which is part of the Department of Human Genetics at Faculty of Medicine. And I have only a few introductory slides just to set the stage for the workshop and what we want to accomplish from this workshop. And So this workshop is really bringing together an interdisciplinary group of experts, and the idea is to bridge different ways of knowing, or epistemologies, if you like, in our understanding of obesity and its prevention. Now, before we do that, the goal is not simply to bring together people who think differently so that we can complement each other. That's, of course, one of our primary objectives. But I just want to emphasize that in the case of obesity, often the causes and the symptoms are often confused. And we are often preoccupied with scientific hypotheses, and rightly so, but there is something that I wish to highlight that is somewhat little known. It's known as the type 3 error. And I believe that this workshop can be an important sort of move towards understanding the type 3 errors in the case of study of obesity. So what is a type 3 error? Type 3 error is incorrect framing of a problem. In other words, we can call it finding the right answer for the wrong question. And we often make this mistake, and we are often, again, victim of our own expertise. We all know as scientists, investigators, as public, I think the type 1 error, which is false positives, and the type 3 error, which is false negatives. But this concept of type 3 error actually was formulated in 1974 in the seminal paper. And in fact, some say that this is even more important than type 1 and type 2 errors, because we have to ask the right question so that we can have the right answers. So some, in fact, call this the type 0 error. So what this workshop can potentially do is that by understanding each other's different and complementary perspectives, we may be able to frame the questions around obesity in a more sort of informed manner so that we're asking the right questions. And importantly, we're not confusing this way the causes and the symptoms from each other. Now, in 1914, again, just to sort of historical perspective, this is Thorstein Veblen. He was a sociologist and economist. He coined this term called trained incapacity. So what this really means is that sometimes, again, we're a victim of our own expertise. In fact, what we know sometimes can work against formulating the right questions or framing the right type of questions. So it's important to be aware of this concept of trained incapacity, and that we all have these professional blind spots by virtue of our own training, in fact. And I also wish to highlight this sort of nice paper from 2005 by Bernard Cho and colleagues at the PHAC, a number of other authors as well. I usually do not like to be called an expert, and there's a reason for it. So these colleagues define an expert as someone who knows more and more about less and less, until finally knowing almost everything about almost nothing. Now, this doesn't mean that expertise is not important. We have to be expert in something. But we also have to be humble about it and recognize, or perhaps cognizant, that we also have blind spots and we have to complement each other. Now, in the case of 20th century science, because this is important in the context of this workshop as well, because in a way we are trying to pioneer what Lorette and others also call 21st century science. And it's important to think of this in terms of metaphors, because sometimes metaphors speak volumes and might be more important than text and narratives. So this is Thomas Alva Edison in the U.S. who patented the first light bulb, I believe, in 1879. But this concept of science and discovery science has prevailed throughout the 20th century as sort of a lone genius. So that this would be some kind of an insightful person, and they would have some discoveries, often working in isolation. So that was at least a metaphor. Of course, we know that science never happens in isolation and separate from society. But nonetheless, this has been somewhat the prevailing metaphor, and perhaps incorrectly so. So what's happening now in the case of 21st century science, as a metaphor, we have ocean liners. Now, I do not want to mean that what we have as science now is necessarily more elegant. But what has really happened that we have witnessed an increase in scale of science. So we really have high throughput data collection, and that also poses a number of problems. So what's really happening now is that there is an increasing focus on systems approaches to our understanding of obesity and in science in general. Of course, systems science is not new. It predates to 20th century. But it's being applied more frequently. So this is one important metaphor that we wish to emphasize. Now, this is not only in terms of promises, but it also causes a number of challenges, in part what is known as the collective action or collective innovation problem. So unlike the 20th century, where perhaps, at least in some cases, innovations happened by isolated actions of individual scientists, science is now taking place increasingly as a collective action. So how do we bring these people together from different disciplines and work towards at least some level of shared goals? So again, in this workshop, we do not want to only sort of bring together different expertises, but also let's force ourselves how we can actually bridge this knowledge. Because if you just bring different kinds of knowledge and put it into the same pool, it wouldn't necessarily be sort of constructive. We also have to bridge different ways of knowing, or different epistemologies, if you like. So there is another way of conceptualizing innovations now in our current era. Innovations are increasingly becoming some sort of a collective, discursive learning exercise under complex contingent conditions where stakeholders of an innovation ecosystem, if you will, have interdependencies. So it's important to remember these as we move towards the day in this workshop. So we have a long day that's waiting for us.